Today is the fourth Sunday after Pentecost. Just have two announcements. There will be blessings of articles after Mass today at the communion rail, and this evening at 6 p.m., there will be benediction of the Blessed Sacrament. Now, we have some great feasts this week. You can look in your missal and see all of the feasts we have this week. But we only mention to you a couple. Number one, tomorrow is the feast of St. Anthony of Padua. St. Anthony the Wonder Worker. He's called St. Anthony the Wonder Worker not primarily because of all the miracles he performed during his life, and there were many of them. But he lived a very short life. So that's not the main reason he's called that. He's called that because for 800 years he's been working wonders without stopping throughout the world. Here in our house, the number of wonders he has worked is phenomenal. So, if you don't pray to St. Anthony, the Wonder Worker, you're making a big mistake. Also, we mention him because he is a wonderful example to all of us, because he is a doctor of the church. He only lived here on earth a little more than 30 years. And in that short time, he became one of the greatest teachers ever. Just that short life. He's a doctor of the church. That means teacher. Because of his knowledge of God. And with all of his learning and his holiness, his great desire, which is an example for all of us, was to die a martyr. That's what his desire was in life. To give his life. To shed his blood for God. This great learned man. That's what all of you should have as your goal in life. We will mention one of his miracles while he was alive because it's pretty amazing, and that is that during a great storm, because he was known maybe more for his preaching than he was for his miracles, during this great hail storm and rainstorm, which is taking place during one of his sermons outside preaching to thousands of people, it rained and hailed all around him, and the people were listening to him, and no one got wet or hit by the hail once. We also mention one other saint for this week. She's not on the universal calendar. Her name is Saint Germain of Pibroch. She lived in the 16th century, died in 1601. When she was just a tiny girl, her mother died. And so her father remarried, and then they had their own family. And her family didn't care in the least about this little girl, Saint Germain. And so, she's a little girl, she had to start sleeping in the barn. And she took care of their sheep. So she spent all of her days as a little girl out in the fields tending the flock. And that's all she did, except for one other thing. And she only lived 22 years on earth. Every day she went to Mass. How did she do this? Because she had to take care of these sheep. Well, first of all, in addition to living in the barn, the only thing she was given to eat were scraps from the table. He would not give her a meal. This is how little they cared for her. And they spread rumors, her family, about her that she was a bad girl and totally useless. And so the neighborhood treated her with contempt until they saw that she was going to Mass every day. And when they tried to discover where was her flock, they went looking for it and saw that she had taken her staff, put it in the ground, and her sheep stayed with that staff the whole time she was at Mass. And so they began to revere her. They said one day when they were going to have Mass and the creek which she had to cross each morning to get to Mass was flooding. So they said, she won't be coming to Mass today. And they watched. When she came to the creek, the water parted for her. And so they began to respect her and love her very much. And finally, her family wanted her back in the house. But it was too late. She would not move back in with them. She liked it in the barn by herself. And shortly after this, she died. But the story does not end there, because approximately 50 years later, by accident, they dug up her body and discovered that it was completely preserved. And so they put it in the church. And everyone began receiving miracles from her intercession. And so it wasn't until this almost during our time that she was canonized that many years later. And she is still revered there in the middle of France. We give you her as an example for all of us because of her humility. Great example, isn't it? She never aspired to anything except holiness. The epistle for today's Mass is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Romans. Brethren, I reckon that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory to come that will be revealed in us. For the eager longing of creation awaits the revelation of the sons of God. For creation was made subject to vanity, not by its own will, but by reason of him who made it subject in hope, because creation itself also will be delivered from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the sons of God. For we know that all creation groans and travails in pain until now, and not only it, but we ourselves also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit. We ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption as sons of God, the redemption of our body, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for the Gospel. Holy Gospel for today's Mass is taken from the account according to St. Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. At that time, while the crowds were pressing upon Jesus to hear the word of God, he was standing by Lake Gennesaret, and he saw two boats moored by the lake, but the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. And getting into one of the boats, the one that was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and sitting down, he began to teach the crowds from the boat. But when he had ceased speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and lower your nets for a catch." And Simon answered and said to him, "Master, the whole night through we have toiled and have taken nothing, but at thy word I will lower the net." And when they had done so, they enclosed a great number of fishes, but their net was breaking, and they beckoned to their comrades in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats, so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw this, he fell down at Jesus' feet, knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish they had made. And so were also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. Henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left all and followed him. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Before we start, notice in this Gospel, first of all, if you know anything about fishing, you know that you are much better off fishing at night than in the daytime. And so here it is in the middle of the day, and they had caught nothing. Zero. That's what St. Peter says. And yet, he says, "At thy word, I will lower the nets." So notice that St. Peter is obedient. See how important that virtue is? He has no thought about that this is impossible to catch any fish during the daytime. Not thinking about that. He's obedient. Obedience does not reason, doesn't do what is evil. But obedience does not reason, does not calculate to see if what is being commanded is correct or not. That's not obedience. If you try to find out if what you're going to do is the right thing to do. I'm not talking about right or wrong morally. Obedience is blind in that sense. And St. Peter was obedient, you see. So you see the reward of blind obedience. He was truly obedient, St. Peter. And you see the reward. Now this Sunday is all about an eternal reward, hope and confidence in God that he will reward us when we get to heaven. But it does not fail to mention, namely in the epistle, the first fruits. What are the first fruits that St. Paul mentions? First fruits means the virtues that we are possessed of right now. And not only the virtues, but also included in the first fruits is the reward of the virtues that we possess right now, the rewards that we possess right now. That's what that talks about. because what is with the saying? Virtue is its own reward. Isn't that right? So because of our virtues, right now we are possessed of many rewards, innumerable, most important being peace of soul. Don't we have peace? Don't you have peace of soul? Peace of mind? Not to mention light, clarity. Don't you see why you are here on this earth? Do you realize what a reward that is? There's also joy. Don't you all have great joy and happiness? It's because of your virtues. Do not imagine that everyone else has what you have. This is what our Lord, our God, says to us through Isaiah the prophet about our virtue now. Behold, I will bring upon her, soul possessed of virtues, as it were, a river of peace, and as an overflowing torrent, the glory of the Gentiles. And upon the knees they shall caress you, as one whom the mother caresses, so will I comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. That's the Catholic Church. And you shall see, and your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like an herb, and the hand of the Lord shall be known to his servants. And that's not the only quote we have for you. This is also about our present reward for virtue. This was after St. Peter says to our Lord and Savior, we've left everything. What do we get? And this is what the Son of God said to him. Amen, I say to you, that you who have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, shall also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. It's future. And everyone who has left house, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, and this is now, shall receive 100-fold. Now, obviously, he's not saying 100 mothers, 100 fathers, 100 brothers. He's talking about the reward of virtue, peace. 100 times more peace than everyone else. He's talking about the reward for a virtue right now. 100-fold. And shall possess life everlasting after you die. So that's our reward for virtue now. We all know that it is an inestimable gift to be born into the Catholic Church. But 99% of Catholics do not appreciate it, what we have received, the way converts to the Catholic faith appreciate it. They know what it's like in the darkness outside. they have experienced the fear of not having the infallible certitude that we have, that what we believe is true, is right, infallibly. They know what it's like not to have what we have. And they appreciate it much more than most Catholics, because of the confusion that everyone is possessed of. They know what it's like not to have the hand of the Lord, not to be consoled by God the way we are. Brethren, we can never and we will never comprehend ever the value of one single supernatural virtue that has been infused into our soul at baptism. Or for that matter, just the value of one act of virtue. One single, simple act of virtue. The simplest, the easiest. Jesus, when he was here on earth, told us that just to give a little water to someone will gain for us an eternal reward. Imagine that. Is that because of the value of giving a little water to someone? What use is a little water? What's the great reward for that? Why does that deserve an eternal reward? Except that we have been baptized. And when we do anything, because we are sons of God, as St. Paul says, not sons, the Son, we are the Son of God. We have been given not only sanctifying grace and a share in the life of the Trinity, but we have been made like the Son of God, so that we have the life of Christ. When God the Father sees us, he sees his Son. We do not understand this. Listen to what St. Thomas says about this. St. Thomas Aquinas. To each baptized person, the passion of Christ is imparted, as if he himself, the baptized, had suffered and died on the cross. Is that not amazing? So when God looks on us, he sees his Son. And when we do anything, God rewards us as if it is his Son doing it. And if that is true, imagine our reward for receiving the sacraments. What do you think our reward will be for receiving Christ in the Holy Eucharist or going to confession? Now. Our reward now. But that's not the purpose of this Sunday. The purpose of this Sunday is to assure us and to increase our hope, our trust, confidence in God, that we will be given an eternal reward in heaven. That's why we are here today primarily, because these, especially virtues that we practice, especially when we receive the sacraments, are the greatest act of virtue that we can perform. And at the same time, since virtue is its own reward, they are the greatest rewards that we can possibly receive, to receive the sacraments. And so we are given great hope and love, confidence, forgiveness. One of the greatest proofs, since this Sunday, St. Paul talks all about how creation is suffering and calling out for our reward. One of the greatest proofs in creation of heaven and God, proofs of grace, is our conscience. Our conscience points directly to God. Everything in creation points to God. If you study the smallest to the greatest single item in creation, you see that every single thing points to heaven. And this is the greatest one, our conscience. It's the greatest, one of the greatest gifts we have received. Everyone has received a conscience. So much so that the most evil person who ever lived had a conscience. And if they are in hell, their conscience still bothers them. It is what bothers them the most. And we cannot ever put our conscience to sleep, no matter how much we try. It's paramount because it says to us all the time how much we need forgiveness. We need love. We need hope. Calls out all the time. And there is a quality that when we have it, it's a virtue. It immediately bestows upon us all of these things. Very, very powerful virtue. It is the virtue of humility. And the reason it is so powerful is because when God sees a humble soul, He, without hesitation, loves it, loves that soul without end, without measure. And because He cannot resist this greatest virtue, in the sense that it's the foundation of all of our other virtues. And so as soon as He sees a humble soul, He pours out His grace. He gives it everything He can give it. And what is the first thing He gives it? Prayer. Because the humble soul always, constantly says, God, help me. God, please help me. And God answers his prayer. We see this with St. Peter. You see how humble he was? He says to our Lord and Savior, we have worked all night long, and we have taken not a single fish. He was humbled. And he was obedient. And he says, whatever you tell me, at thy word I will do it. You see how much grace God gave this humble soul? This is what we must do, and then we'll have no fear. God, please help me. We have a little story for you before we end about the sacraments and the graces that are present in the sacraments. Once upon a time, there were some young men who were having a party. And they talked about when was the last time that any of them had been to confession. How long ago was that? And one of them said, I want to go to confession. What will you give me if I go to confession? And they said, a gallon of beer. That's what you get, a gallon of beer. He said, we'll do it tomorrow morning. So the next morning, he goes into the confessional. He confesses to the priest why he is there, to get a gallon of beer. And he says, you hear my buddies in the church, and that shows you why I'm here. And so I'm going to confession, and that's going to be my reward. And the priest says, do you have no fear at all? Do you not understand that there is a just God who punishes sinners? And the young man says, I don't care about him. The priest says, do you not know that you will die very soon and you will have to answer to God for your sins? He says, I don't care about that either. And what about hell? The priest says, do you not realize that God will send all the ungodly to hell? And he said, and I don't care about that last of all. And the priest says to him, okay, so you have done your part for your gallon of beer, and now I will do mine. I cannot give you absolution, but I can give you a penance. And so for 1 month, morning and night, you will say the following. There is a just God who will punish the sinner, and I do not care about him. And I will die, and I do not care. And there is a hell that will be given to all the ungodly, and I don't care. And so he left the confessional, and he told his buddies about what had happened, and they all agreed that he had earned a gallon of beer if he did his penance. And so he did his penance, and after 1 week of doing his penance, his conscience began to bother him. And within a few days, he was back in the confessional. This time, for good. So you see, brethren, the grace of the sacraments, even for the ungodly. So pray. And pray to Saint Germain, whose feast is on Wednesday, 15th of June. You can pray to her for the virtue of humility, and the confidence that you will be given in your reward in heaven. May God bless you.